Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for the return of domestic football after the international break. It's first v second in the Premiership tomorrow as Celtic welcome Aberdeen. Philippe Clement says he tried to sign Ryan Kent before but wouldn't be drawn on a return to Rangers for the winger. And Sean Rooney and St Mirren part ways after the defender was charged last month. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Brian Graham and Hugh Keevans.
What about this card? Bringing us back in after the international break. It's great for the prestige of our game to have Celtic playing Aberdeen in front of 60,000 people. The winner goes to the top of the league on their own. Hibs have sold out the away end at Dundee United, and they're not very good. Hearts have got a new manager, Neil Critchley, who's under pressure, and a ball hasn't been kicked yet. Motherwell at home to Dundee, and we all know now, because Tony Docherty let the cat out of the bag, that Dundee beat Rangers behind closed doors in the international break. And finally, Simo Vallecari can't get an international clearance to work in Perth. How does that work? And what have you done to me? You've got me with the King of Queen's Cross.
No, I was going to say what it is after this week at Hampden, I was on the search for a huffy striker who's still playing well into his 30s. So I found one.
Aye, that's me all over the back.
I found the only guy angrier than Cristiano Ronaldo. But it's good to have you, Brian. How are you?
Yeah, delighted to be back on with the legend as Hugh Keevan. So,
oh, he started the flattery as well.
Yeah, I asked him off earlier how long he's been doing this. He told me nearly 40 years. 40 years come April, so it's incredible.
He's kind of to radio what you are to striking.
Then, I don't think, really, so. You know, I don't think
not
so.
Quite 40 years. We're getting there. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. We are proper back. I know there was a lot of talking points during the international break. I also know that many of you tread water until the domestic football returns. So let's do it. Let's get stuck straight back into it and let us know how you're looking forward to this weekend. We do have Championship action tonight. In fact, it starts tonight. Brian, I'm sure, give us the inside track there. But tomorrow, it doesn't get much better than first against second, with both of those teams having won every single game so far. So Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans, how much are you looking forward to that tomorrow? Aberdeen fans, are you coming down? Can you cause a shock? Celtic fans, no Greg Taylor for that game, and probably not the European game either. So how do you feel about that, and how do you view that game overall in terms of some off-field issues or in the stand issues, to be precise? Brendan Rodgers calling for the Celtic fans to stop using pyrotechnics after another UEFA charge this week. Some quite strong words from him, and I've seen a bit of a mixed response, shall we say, to those on social media. So get your thoughts in. Rangers fans, a very simple question for you. Would you or would you not entertain re-signing Ryan Kent? Because his contract has been terminated in Turkey, and of course it's got everyone speculating on social media. Philippe Clement was asked about it. He says he's well aware of the player because he tried to sign him before he went to Rangers the first time. So quite simply, would you like to see Ryan Kent back or not? And then of course your thoughts on Rugby Park on Sunday. There's a lot happening. Big games everywhere you look, Hugh Keevans. It is going to be good to get back into it.
It is. On and off the park, big stories. The Celtic Aberdeen game is just fabulous. To have a game that everyone is talking about, which does not involve Celtic and Rangers. It involves one of them, but another team. That's good for the prestige of our league. And I knew it was a big game when satellite television turned up at Aberdeen's Friday morning press conference. That hasn't happened since Alec Ferguson was there. So it's a big, big deal for Jimmy Tielan. And with regard to Brendan Rodgers and those strong words, let me echo those strong words, because one of my grandchildren would love to go to Celtic Park, but he's asthmatic. And the pyro does nothing for children who have that complaint. So do the club a favour. And I'm talking to the Rangers fans as well. John Gilligan, the interim chairman, has come out and spoken about his disgust over the pyrotechnics, do everyone a favour. Just keep them at home.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. How's things at the moment, Brian? Partick Thistle, obviously we look for a bit of an upturn in results.
No, it's not been the ideal start. I thought we, obviously it was well documented at the start of the season, but we wanted to go and win the league. We've not started particularly well. We got a big point against Falkirk last week, who have been flying. John McGlynn's got them playing really exciting football. I thought we let ourselves down first half, but second half, obviously you go a goal down, we got ourselves level, and we probably take the point and we move on. But tomorrow we play home to Airdrie. It's a bit of a derby game. The fans really look forward to it, so we need to get 3 points tomorrow. It's first and foremost.
You had a wee meltdown after that game. I read it.
Yeah.
Had a meltdown with some of your colleagues in the team.
I didn't really have a meltdown. I just...
That's a Hugh Keaton-ism. He likes the dramatic language.
Yeah. I'm just not, I'm ignoring that. It wasn't really a meltdown. It was just, listen, the squad know where we are. The managers went over it this week in detail. We had video on Tuesday. We had video again on Airdrie on Thursday. So we're well versed on what we need to do this come Saturday. And it's just not the start we've had, what we've really wanted. I think if you look back last season, we were playing free-fall in football. It's not really been there. We've been a wee bit disjointed. But listen, it's early in the season. We'll come good. I firmly believe we're going to win tomorrow. Then you can go and try and get a run of wins together and get your form back in track.
0141 951 1025. Come on, let's get stuck in. We've got a massive weekend coming up. We've got big stories on and off the pitch, as Hugh Keevan says. We've got the Champions League. The Championship. No difference. on tonight as well.
There isn't money.
So we'll work our way around it all, but we need your help. Let's kick off with... some comments from Philippe Clement. I can see calls coming in on this already, because it was a night of speculation last night. You know the way something ignites and then Twitter runs away with itself. So Ryan Kent's contract terminated over in Turkey. It got lots of Rangers fans saying, well, would you go for it? And Philippe Clement, he wouldn't be drawn in that speculation, but he revealed he previously did try and sign the winger.
I said already in that 1 year, already a lot of times, I don't go into rumours, because then it never stops. And it's already busy with all the press conferences with you guys. So, no, I'm not going to go into rumours. Of course, I know the player. And I know already a long time, because the moment he went to Rangers, I was in talks with him to get him to Bruges. That moment. But there was a better deal, I think, in Rangers in that way. So he chose for that. So I know him a long time. But I'm not going into rumours about bringing in players or not.
Well, what do you think, Ross? Sorry, Hugh, we'll just stick it to the phones first. Ross, what's your verdict? Would you go for Ryan Kent again?
No, absolutely no chance. He's a big greedy man. Doesn't pass the ball anywhere. Last time we played Rangers, just totally greedy. Just greedy, greedy man. And I think it'd be too good to bring back. And the boy's not worth it. He's an ignorant boy, so he's a chip on the ring and back to Rangers. Oh,
very harsh. I don't know about his personality as such, but in terms of on the pitch, is he better than what Rangers have currently? I think that's the point maybe some fans have been making.
Well, I would say I'm a Rangers fan. He was a good player, but I don't think he's good at now.
I thought he was brilliant for Gerrard. I really did. I thought he was fantastic the year, obviously COVID, Rangers won the league. But if you go back to it, can Rangers afford to bring him back in? The money he might have been on in Turkey, nobody knows those circumstances. You don't know the sort of deal the player's wanting. Does he want to come back to Rangers? I know it's just because he's a previous player and he's played for Rangers. It doesn't mean automatic he's want to go back to Rangers. I felt he was a top player in Scotland. I really, really did. And I disagree with some of Ross's comments.
Rangers made a financial mess of it with regard to Ryan Kent. They had a £7 million offer from Leeds United, didn't take it, and eventually his stock started to fall at Ibrox, and Ross would have been one of those supporters that would detect that his heart didn't seem to be in it by the time he left the club and he was falling out with supporters. But to underline Brian's point, Rangers have financial problems, and it's not just as easy as saying, oh, bring him back, he's better than some who are here. Could they afford to bring him back?
I mean, he wouldn't be able to play, I don't think, this side of January window anyway, but... I assume, though, Ross, anyone who is in favour of it is not saying that Rangers would, you know, match the Turkey wages or even probably match what he was on previously at the club. If there was some sort of cut price deal, if you like, or, you know, I don't know how many clubs are going to be lining up to sign him anyway, but still not for you under no circumstances.
far, I don't know if it was good enough for his eye. Let's bring him back. See what he's got for his eye. Let's bring him back then.
If Rangers' situation worsens, if this weekend should put them even further behind either Celtic or Aberdeen, then a clamour will start for players like Kent, because the fans will be desperate to get something, somebody in that re-energises the club.
I think where this a lot of it comes from, Brian, is that, you know, where Rangers are at, you know, if they had a whole host of wingers who were flying, then it wouldn't be as much of a question. Oscar Cortez might be that guy in the future, but he's injured again. Ross McCausland's still young. You know, is he going to nail down that place? Barami's been playing there. Rangers fans want to really see him played through the middle. So is it maybe a sign of where they're at that a lot of fans are looking
that
way?
If you look at the past, the Rangers wingers, you know, no disrespect to those three players, they're playing at a fantastic football club, but they're no top-end, high-quality football players. Ryan Kent is better than three of them you just mentioned by a country distance. So it's about the quality Rangers want to bring back to the football club. That's if they can afford it, as I've mentioned, but I just think it's far off. Ross doesn't even, he said no, the next minute he says yes.
We've changed Ross's mind already.
So he's chopping and changing.
To be fair, it's a very general question when you ask it, would you take him back? That can change. Would you know, you're taking him back on 25 grand a week? No. Would you take him back on 12 a week with an appearance, you know, and incentives? That's a different question. Yeah. And I'm just plucking figures, by the way.
Yeah, and then it comes down to the player. I mean, the player willing to take a 50% drop in wages, is the player's heart in going back to Ibrox? Because, as I say, by the time he left the club, relationships between the player and the fans were not great at all. And he's also going back to a club who are arguably struggling more than they were when he left.
It could just be nothing, because Philippe Clement, you know, can be like that. He doesn't mind sort of opening up on certain subjects. But it's just quite interesting, because when you start off and say, oh, well, I'm not going to be drawn on rumours, you end the sentence there, then it really kills it. But the next bit is, but you know, I did try and sign him before. And it's kind of,
so he leaves the door ajar.
It's allowed us to sort of latch on to that. So he clearly liked him at some point.
He's a top player. Managers like good players. He's a good player. So if he had the chance to sign him, I believe he would. But we'll see we'll see what the next coming days bring.
Thomas is also a Rangers fan. We just lost the previous one. What are you thinking, Thomas? Would you do it?
I'm here. Listen, mate. Gordon, good evening to you, whoever else is on that panel. I'm looking at my window now. It's a bleak, drab Friday night, mate. Rain's pouring anyway. It's not a weather forecast. I'm not Michael Fish, but I'm telling you, Ryan Kent coming back to Ibrox, not a chance. We don't want him. We don't need him. As simple as, we don't want him.
I wouldn't
he's
say
a failure. He's a failure. Hugh, wait a wee minute. Let me finish my point before you interrupt. Excuse me a wee minute.
Oh, he's waiting, don't worry.
Aye. Just tell me how these bus. I mean, what happened to Drumchap United? That was terrible about the fireworks, Drumchap United. What happened to the other day, man? The fireworks.
That must be the quickest turn. I've no idea what. Anyway, yeah, it's terrible.
I thought he was getting into trouble there. The next minute we went to Drumchapel.
It's a terrible thing, actually. I'll quickly explain. They suffered £4,000 worth of damage,
and it was terrible. But could we just stick Ryan Kent just for a second?
Yeah, of course.
Go on then.
Again, Thomas underlines my point about the relationship between Kent and the Rangers fans. It deteriorated to the point where Thomas is absolutely adamant that he doesn't want men anywhere near the place, but he said he won't improve Rangers. Well, I would argue that he would improve Rangers. You may dislike him on a personal level, and it may be impossible to achieve on a financial level, but he would improve Rangers.
It's an interesting one, because the numbers used to always get held against him on here, certainly in the latter years, Brian. He clearly could do good things with a football, but and it probably didn't help that it was at the same time when Celtic had an array of wingers who scored or assisted all the time, and he was never quite able to produce that towards the end, or maybe even.
But you don't know what's happening in house. You don't know if the £7 million bid came in. You don't know if he was told he could leave and then all of a sudden he couldn't leave. All these things, we don't know. We're not privy to inside the building. A lot of things happen with players that people and fans speculate, but maybe he down tools. I don't know. After not getting that big money move, you just never know what happens in a football club. But I guarantee you right now, if Rangers signed him, Thomas would be at the front door with his flag out, waving him back.
Welcome back, Ryan. We love you. Anyway, thanks to Thomas on 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans, top of the table clash tomorrow. 2 100% records. One of them will go tomorrow. How are you feeling about it? And strong words from Brendan Rodgers about UEFA charge for pyrotechnics. If you keep doing it, you're showing you don't really care about the club, says Brendan Rodgers. How do you feel about those comments? Call us now and we'll speak to you after I tell you about this.
Win £400,000, our biggest ever cash prize.
Every time I tell you about this, I assume that the prize isn't going to keep going up and up, and then the number just keeps getting bigger. The last one was our biggest ever cash prize, and this one's certainly our biggest ever. Way bigger than anything we've ever done before. £400,000. Text YES to 61025. Text are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website online for £2.50 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website as well, and the lines close 5pm next Friday. I wouldn't leave it till then though. Don't leave it till the last minute and then do something else and you've missed the boat. So the best thing about it, no phrase or amount to remember. You don't even need to pick up within the five rings. This is just an answer the phone, and the 400 grand would be yours. It's a guaranteed winner again, so someone will win the lot, and it is text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Partick Thistle captain and women's head coach Brian Graham, just for the avoidance of doubt, on the show. He was referred to as whoever else is there, I think.
Brilliant.
From the previous caller. But there we go. That's in case you're wondering who the one is that's talking all the sense, because it certainly won't be Hugh. 0141 951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. Top of the table clash tomorrow. It feels like it's more than that, because it's not the usual top of the table clash. It's Aberdeen. They've both won all their games. So give us your thoughts there, please. And some strong words from Brendan Rodgers on the use of pyrotechnics. We'll hear them very soon. Let's take one more call before we do that. William is a Rangers fan. What are you thinking tonight? You've heard a bit from your fellow fans already, William. Take it away.
Yeah, I've got a couple of points.
Go for it.
About the Ryan Kent thing and the Aberdeen splitting Rangers and Celtic thing. Right. The first one is Ryan Kent. I would take him back. He's a good player. No, a manager, he's always talked about managers getting the best out of players. So it's to say, come on, can I get the best out of Ryan Kent? That's my first point.
I take it you would think, you know, you would obviously hope that it would be some sort of, like, you know, it would need to make sense financially, wouldn't it? It would need to be very different from either what he was on it in Turkey or what he was on the previous time, would you imagine?
You have stated, maybe, I think anybody knows what he's on. No, I mean, well, what he's willing to step down to.
I mean, to be fair, the rumours from Turkey are large. Talking, well, begins with a four, but I don't know for sure, Hugh.
If your manager is Jose Mourinho, then you're in the market for paying big. And I would imagine he's on a very handsome wage. For me, Clement obviously rates him as a player, would take him back, but the financial aspect could be the deal breaker.
Well, it's a bit of a split, William. I see a lot of people entertaining it on social media. The two callers who came on previously were not. Is it that you think he's better than what's there at the moment? How do you remember his first spell? Because it did tail off a lot, didn't it, towards the end?
Well, his first spell, he could end it. I keep saying to all my mates, he could end it up a hero. See, if he just took that chance in the last kick of the ball and extra time in that final, he'd have been a hero. He had a statue about him. I thought he was dipping. He definitely was dipping, but he was a good, as Brian said, he was a good player for Rangers under Gerrard, definitely.
Do you think he was productive enough after? Did he score enough goals and assists for you, William?
No, he'd never done things like that, right? But he's always had about two or three players on him. Every team was marking him with two or three men. It was difficult for him. At the start under Gerrard, he was amazing. Then the team started to work him out, but he was still a good player.
Yeah, well, listen, it's one of those that at the moment it is completely hypothetical. But then Philippe Clement's asked about it. He leaves the little comment in about wanting to sign him before, and it hasn't put it to bed. But like we said, it's not like he's not going to be signed this week and then play next weekend. No, that's not the way these things would work. So, what else are you thinking, William?
Yeah, I've been listening to your debate about the Aberdeen and Rangers and Celtic splitting them, right? To me, it comes down to simple mathematics, right? Every team is going to play for 114 points. See if Rangers were to drop 34 points, right? That would leave them in 80. I don't think they're going to drop that many anyway. Can Aberdeen get to 80, 90 points? When's the last time a provincial team actually done that? No, since 1991 when Aberdeen and Rangers were playing for the title. They're just not going to get to that sort of number, in my opinion.
I don't think we're qualified yet to say how good, bad or indifferent Jimmy Teelan's side are going to be. I'd come back to this question four games from now. Celtic tomorrow, Dundee United at Pittodrie, Rangers at Pittodrie, and Celtic in the semi-final of the Premier Sports Cup. Four games from now, Brian, I think we'll know a lot more.
Yeah, well, I've played seven games. I've scored 15 goals, conceded six. So they're obviously in good form. As you said, the next four games are massive, but what a fantastic start it has been for the Aberdeen manager. It's a massive game tomorrow, not on television. And I think it's a really good point, because I know there was talk about maybe changing the time for the kickoff or TV, but Celtic said no. But I feel that's really important, because I don't think it'd been fair on the Aberdeen fans with having to travel down. And I also don't think it'd been fair on the Celtic fans that pay season ticket money.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's not on TV. 3 o'clock. I think players enjoy playing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
I don't think they're supporters anymore. They're business partners. Celtic's pre-Champions League ticket package sale earned the club £11 million. That's not supporters. Those are business partners. And the business partners don't deserve to have their weekend disrupted. Some who come over from Ireland would miss the game altogether. So Celtic have done the right thing, and they've stood by the Aberdeen fans as well.
So William, when the Rangers, do you expect that soon? Is it a matter of time? You just think Aberdeen will tail off and it'll be the usual top two?
Well, it comes down to injuries and suspensions usually, doesn't it? Aberdeen's playing well at the moment. Now you've got to compliment them, right? But they're more than capable of losing seven games in the bounce. Let's be honest.
Do you think so?
Yeah, definitely, it can happen. They've not got the same squads as Rangers and Celtic.
William, what do you think Rangers' chances are on Sunday?
I think their chances are 65-35.
Kamarnock, I think
William's a numbers man.
Yeah, he is. Statistic. So, listen, like Kamarnock, 12 o'clock, the weather's to be horrendous. Kamarnock out of Europe, getting a break over the international break. It's going to be a real tough game for Rangers down at Rugby Park.
I don't know if William's wrong. It just felt like quite a big state. If this Aberdeen team lost seven in a row, I feel like that would be quite a surprise. Now, Hugh, they're not shown enough to suggest that would be unlikely.
In this league, consistency is a big thing, though. And Aberdeen, they can't maintain what they're doing now. 13 games played, 13 games won. No one can maintain that kind of run, I don't think.
The only team in Europe to have won all their games in all competitions.
But we do not yet know just how good they are. And that's why I say four games from now, a semi-final at Hampden against Celtic, Rangers at Pittodrie, if you've got anything about you and you think you can split the old firm, that night is your chance to make a statement. And Celtic Park tomorrow, another statement game for them. So four games from now, will be in a better position to know what they're all about.
Okay, thank you to William. What about David on the line? How are you, David?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's your point tonight?
It's just 2 points. The fact that Ryan Kent.
Yep.
I'd be happy to see him back at Rangers. Personally, I think he owes Rangers.
Owes them in what way?
The way he chopped it at the end.
Okay. But some people use that then as a reason that you wouldn't bring him back?
No, I think I would bring him back. Personally, I don't see anybody that's better than him at the moment.
You're saying he cheated the club, essentially?
The way he treated the club, yeah. I think he just chucked it. Him Morelos chucked it at the end.
So why would you want a player you feel chucked it at the time he was a Rangers player? Why would you want him back?
To prove himself.
That's not quite how he will see it, I don't think.
I think he would jump at a chance to come back to Rangers, to be honest.
Well, we're all guessing what Ryan Kent thinks, and we don't know for sure.
To be fair, Hugh, I do wonder. I don't suppose there's going to be a massive queue right now, is there, in terms of, I mean, how long has it been now then since Ryan Kent had a good season, for example? He clearly didn't do it in Turkey. If this is David's opinion that he chucked it in the last couple at Rangers, what does that take you back to? Are we talking 4 4 years since a good season? Or
I think his mindset, though, may be, I don't want to go back to Scottish football. I don't want to go back having to take a 50% wage decrease in order to go back, and I'll look elsewhere. Thanks very much.
David, again, is all this coming from just the simple fact that, you know, you don't think the options in the squad are better than what he can produce? Is that a reflection on where the team's at currently?
I think the team are getting there. They're getting there, but I think they could use somebody like Ryan Kent. As I say, I think he owes the Rangers a wee bit of payback. I think he was looking for a move. When Gerrard left, I think he just automatically thought he was going with Gerrard.
Yeah, it's funny, I've never heard those two sort of, those two opinions sort of coexist, where you think a player chucked it and you think he can,
and you want him back.
But go and get him back then to see if he can remedy it. But fair enough, listen, that's, everybody sees these things differently. Thank you to David online. So that's a bit of a spread now, is it? 50-50, I think. A couple of Rangers fans saying yes, they'd like that Ryan Kent scenario, and a couple saying absolutely not. Let's take a quick dip the toes into Twitter. What we got there? Craig says Rangers should vastly improve the squad compared to current options on the left. He's a player who hasn't suffered from injuries like the other players at the club. He's a level above. And the commander says he improves Rangers, no doubt, but never forget he downed Tools when we needed him the most. Massive no from me. Too many short memories out there. Let's draw a line under it for now and shift focus to Brendan Rodgers. He was doing his press conference today as well. He's calling for the Celtic fans to stop using pyrotechnics after the club were fined and given a suspended ban by UEFA. He says the club can't afford for supporters to miss a Champions League away game.
We don't need the pyrotechnics for great support. The support that we get home and away in games is absolutely incredible. And we can't let that type of behaviour dictate whether fans that can maybe be in with the position of not attending a game. You know, because that's not fair, it's not right. People that have followed Celtic home and away for years and years and years should never be getting banned. And like I said, it's not something that we need. We're not a club that needs that to ignite our support base. What we bring to a stadium in colour and noise is absolutely amazing. And I hope that this does end that, because as I said, it just wouldn't be right for any of our supporters to miss a game. We can't afford for that to happen. And if it does, then it's totally on a minority of our support. It's as simple as that. It's nothing to do with football. And if you do keep doing it, you're showing that you don't really care. You don't really care for the team, you don't care for the support, and you don't care for your club, because the club ultimately are getting fined as well. So if you keep doing it, you're clearly showing that you're actually not really worried about your own club. You know, you're worried about yourself.
Well, strong words. What about Scott, who's on the line? How do you feel about those comments, Scott?
100% I agree with him. I'm no Brendan's biggest fan. Just his previous spell when he left. But the pyrotechnics is just getting beyond a joke now. I'm quite lucky. I'm in a situation where I get tickets for most of the away games, not everyone, but most of them. And that's constantly getting up to grounds and getting body fist before you even walk in the door, because they're trying to cut it down. But I've got a point here, and I don't know if it's feasible or not. All clubs have got closed circuit TV now, and that's how they identify people throwing coins and stuff. If you watch the Celtic support, a certain percentage of them, it's a small minority, which I think Brendan Rodgers alluded to as well. They walk up to the gate, some of these guys have got full face balaclavas on, that you can't see their face. So they go inside the ground, they hide behind their balaclavas or their pulled up hoodie and their scarf over their face, and they let off the flares, and then nobody can identify them. So the whole support gets branded, or the whole section gets branded, because of the sort of, I'll call it cowardly, because being cowardly, if you hide your face and you're up to no good, you're a bit of a coward then. And that's why I think they're being cowardly, and also I think the club and the security services could do more to stop them getting in. If you turn up at the ground with a full face balaclava, you shouldn't be getting in.
See, in fairness, these are talk about away games anyway. I'm not saying that, I'm just talking about the difference between which stadium you're trying to get in. These are away games, so I guess then the onus is on that club to search and whatever. Anyway, that was a sort of smaller point. Scott's kind of backing Brendan Rodgers' comments, if you like, Hugh, but I said this last night. I think this doesn't actually become about whether or not you think pyrotechnics are a good idea? I mean, you've said you feel that they're unsafe. We always hear people saying, but there's an appetite for it. People, you know, fans of all clubs do it. They clearly want it. Can you explore a way of doing it safer? Can you get safer alternatives, whatever? I think the way Brendan Rodgers is coming at it is just, this is just black and white. It doesn't really matter what you think of it. UEFA say you can't do it, and if you keep doing it, you're just punishing the club. Is it that simple?
It is, but there's big trouble coming down the line if the Celtic and Rangers fans don't stop the pyrotechnics, because they're talking about 10-year banning orders from football for those who are caught doing it. But Brendan Rodgers, the ultimate sanction that he can put forward is you don't care about your club.
What do you make of that?
I think it's designed to shock, deliberately designed to shock, and to see if it has any effect, because you're talking to the old codger here. The old codger believes that young people today have no respect for anyone in authority, and that includes the Celtic manager and the Rangers interim chairman. We'll do what we like. Well, if that persists, Celtic and Rangers will be in big trouble with UEFA. And I think Brendan Rodgers' words were carefully chosen to have shock value when he said, you don't care about your club.
I don't think it has to be an old against young thing. I think football fans in your generation, were they not chucking glass bottles and stuff all around the place?
That was definitely unsuitable for my argument.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, right, that aside, because you knew you'd get a rise out of me on that one. The problem, not the problem, but the bit that's, the way he's phrased it, Brian, I'm looking at the replies on our Twitter as an example. So Kieran says, Brendan, I love you, but don't tell me what to do. You know, and lots of others saying,
exactly.
No, but hold on. Also the other, you know, there's another one. Caring for the club is a subject Brendan should run a mile from. Don't get me wrong, he's getting, there's support there as well. But, you know, oh, a bit like chucking it halfway through the season to go to Leicester for more money. You didn't care about the club.
Well, Scott mentioned that as well. Celtic fans need to let that go. He's back at the club. He's come back and won a double. He's come back and started the campaign. Unbelievable. Yes, he still needs to get better in Europe, clearly, with the Borussia Dortmund result, but he's back at the football club. He's winning football games. He's winning trophies again. What more do they want?
One day he won't be there, and they'll regret it, and they'll be on here crying about it. So they should leave that argument. The two are not able to be conflated. We're talking about something that's going to get the club financial bother. It could even lead to the closure of certain parts of Celtic Park and Ibrox. What are you not getting about this? You are causing a problem.
They talk about Champions League night, the atmosphere. What if they get banned? Parkhead's empty.
Yeah.
Then, it'd be an uproar. Yeah. So I think Brendan's right.
That's a strange scenario where Rangers and Celtic in the exact same situation, really. Philippe Clement spoke about it today as well. But quick one, Scott, away from the fireworks. What about tomorrow?
Really looking forward to it. It's probably one of the anticipated this for the last month or so. Obviously, the international break sort of puts things to the side. But I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. If Aberdeen come and have a go, then it should make for a good game, hopefully, end-to-end stuff. The last time Aberdeen had some sort of go, as I think it was back under, I think Ronnie Dyla was in charge, and it was Derek McInnes. And Derek McInnes at times just didn't know what to do, whether to go for it against us or didn't he? And he ended up, I think it was towards the end of the season, it was around about March or something, they blew up a wee bit, and Celtic went on to the title. But I think it should be a good game. Obviously, it'll give a good indication on the Cup semi-final. It's about 2 weeks' time, I think it is. See how the two teams play against each other. By the way, Brian, I wasn't having a go at Brian. I was just saying I wasn't the biggest fan of him when he came back. I'm not saying he's not doing a good job. All I was meaning was I agreed with him. Not a lot of things that I did agree with him, I agreed with him. I think that there's no place in football. Somebody's going to get hurt at one point. Somebody will get hurt, and then you'll see the crossfire from it, because it'll only take that for the true Celtic fans to turn against the ones that constantly use flares. It won't take long.
Okay, 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Brian Graham are here. It's 01419511025. Keep the calls coming. Just a bit of breaking news this evening, Hugh, and it's that Inverness Cali Thistle have confirmed they're entering administration. They failed to reach a deal with a potential buyer. I think people probably knew it was coming, but that's it. Confirmed, if you like. They say the plan's in place to allow the club to continue to trade whilst they try and secure their sort of long-term future. Of course, playing in League One now as well. Yeah. So even in that regard, it's been a bit of a slide. Scottish Cup finalists a couple of years ago and winners in 2015. I mean, they were in the top flight until 2017. So, yeah, really worrying times.
They are in desperate trouble. And even the attempt to raise money, they tried to raise £200,000 and didn't get to 50% of that figure. The manager, Duncan Ferguson, is working for nothing. He's even putting money in to meet travel costs and so on. So they are in desperate trouble. The 15-point deduction, you couldn't see anything other than demotion to League Two. And the fight is on now just to keep the club alive, never mind which division they're in, just to keep them alive.
Man of many clubs, have you ever been? You know, because we've not had any teams in administration for perhaps the last 12 years or something.
No, I've not been involved in it, but I've got a good friend, Billy Mackay, ex-teammate at Ross County, he's an Inverness legend. Yeah. So I feel for him, obviously, and the rest of the players. It's not a nice situation to be involved in. And as you just mentioned, it's just about keeping the club alive now.
Because then, you know, you go and take to the field against Annan tomorrow and you're sort of asked to just carry on as normal as a player. That must be tough.
No, it'll be mind-numbing. The boys will be worrying about their wages. Listen, when you're playing in Scottish football, if you're out with the two Edinburgh sides, maybe the two Glasgow Giants and Aberdeen, you're no earning excess amount of money.
No.
So these players will be worrying about paying their bills.
And well, don't get me wrong, completely different circumstances potentially, Hugh, but if we're saying that Hearts were the last club to go in to administration, look at them now, so to speak. You know, it doesn't have to be.
And that's my worry, because the Hearts come back from that desperate time was largely based on the fans, the foundation of Hearts, who put in fortunes on an annual basis. But when Cali Thistle's back was against the wall and they tried to raise £200,000, they didn't even get £100,000. And I know that our own Fraser Wishart was in Inverness explaining to the players the consequences of administration. So Fraser is best placed to tell us where this goes from here, but these are desperate times.
Let's go back to the phones and bring in John in Royston. How are you, John?
I'm good, thanks, guys. How are you, John?
Not bad. Not good, bad in you. Here. What are you thinking tonight, John?
Just about the game, the Celtic game tomorrow against Aberdeen. It's the biggest test of the season, by far. Two clubs, great form, going head to head. So our biggest challenge by far this season. But I think we'll do it. I think we've got enough in the tank to beat Aberdeen. I would want to bust at some point. I just hope it's not tomorrow.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on that. He's not sure how much of a threat Aberdeen will be at the end of the season, but he says Don's fans will expect their team to be up challenging near the top.
Yeah, we're really excited by the game. Obviously, a great game to come back to and get ourselves back into it very quickly. And obviously, first v second, it's always a great game, especially this early on in the season. So, I've been really impressed with Jimmy's team. They look to have real clarity in how they play, both with the ball and against the ball. You know, you win seven straight games in your league, then you've done really, really well. So, I've been really impressed watching them, and we look forward to the challenge now. I don't know is the honest answer. I don't know. It's only seven games in. But what I know is we play them tomorrow, and this will be the first chance. So I'll get a close-up look to see where they're at. Aberdeen, they'll feel themselves. And Aberdeen's a big club. We can't forget that. It's a big club, so the expectation is to be up there, challenging and fighting with the likes of ourselves.
Celtic remain favourites, Hugh, obviously. Nothing's going to change that. I just wonder if Aberdeen get anything that will send shockwaves, won't it? The reaction will be massive. But even if they lose, I wonder, is it important that everyone sort of reacts appropriately to that? Because worst case scenario, they'll finish the weekend in second. Yeah. They'll finish the weekend 3 points behind Celtic. If you had said to Aberdeen fans, you'll get to the 19th of October and be 3 points behind Celtic in second, that would still be a huge success. but you can almost predict what's going to happen. If Celtic win, which they're expected to do, people then say, ah, the bubble's burst, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's even a bit unfair before it even potentially happens.
It is unfair. I think it's if they are to lose, and I underline if, it's the manner in which they lose, because there's almost a moral obligation on the part of Jimmy Teeland to go toe-to-toe with Celtic tomorrow. Because everyone has said, look at this run, 13 games in all competitions, 13 wins, and they have been getting fabulous publicity. They cannot betray the travelling supporters by parking any buses at Celtic. They have to go and make a statement about themselves. If they lose in the end, go down fighting. Or if they are as good as the Aberdeen fans think they are going to be, then maybe you'll get a draw. Maybe you'll beat Celtic. But you have to do something to help yourself. Brendan said there at the end, Aberdeen are a big club. 40 years since Aberdeen won the league, 34 years since Aberdeen won the Scottish Cup, and 10 years since Aberdeen won the League Cup. That's not a lot for a big club. No, if they have aspirations...
But the other two bigger clubs have got far more money.
Yeah, but, you know, the Scottish Cup, 34 years. Look who's won it over those 34 years. Aberdeen have to come to Glasgow tomorrow, and, well, they're here now, because there was even a camera crew to see the bus away.
But you've got to praise Aberdeen for the start they've had. 13 games, unbelievable start. The manager's been dreaming of that start coming in. So, listen, it's a huge game tomorrow. I firmly believe Celtic will win. Callum McGregor's not an international player anymore. He's rested. I think he's the best player in Scotland. I think Celtic will win 2-3 tomorrow. And that's not being disrespectful to Aberdeen, who have been absolutely fantastic. I just believe Celtic are on a different level to everybody in Scotland at the moment. It's as simple as that.
John, there's no Greg Taylor for the next couple of games. Do you think this could be... Well, I mean, it is an opportunity. Can you see Alex Vaye coming and sort of seizing that? How important might this be for him, this run?
I think it's a great opportunity. His first game obviously was a wee bit unsteady when he came on, but it looks as if the boy's a player, definitely, coming from Barcelona. Definitely a player, and it's a great opportunity for him to challenge seriously for that spot at fullback. But just on another wee note, the Aberdeen thing, they've not got a distraction of Europe this season, which is, you know, it's a big thing for me. But on that, mentioning the word Europe, the pyrotechnic thing, I'm sorry to bring this up again, guys, but I've got to agree with Brendan Rodgers. And whether it was Brendan Rodgers, Ronnie Dial, or Martin O'Neill who said these words today, the Celtic fans need to show respect, because our club is going to get punished seriously. We've got away with it for so long. These pyrotechnics have been going off for years now, and we've been threatened with, you know, £20,000 fines. We've got the £20,000 fines. We've got a £60,000, whatever the case may be. But when you start talking about suspensions and stopping supporters who are spending their hard-earned money going week in, week out, and I'm not just talking domestic, I'm talking about Europe. You know, it's hard on them, and the minority, which was alluded to, are going to spoil it for everybody. It needs to stop.
Okay, thank you very much to John. Perfect timing, because we're going to play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. You're a hypocrite anyway.
Yeah.
I've got a picture of you with a flare raised above your head outside this studio. Remember that?
Yeah, but you put me up to that.
He was going to see Clyde Bank in the Scottish Cup, right? We got him with the Clyde Bank scarf wrapped around his face. And we photoshopped a flare into his hand, but I think Mark Wilson thought it genuinely
was
he was standing outside this office on a Friday night with a flare in the air. So needless to say, it was not. It was photoshopped. You can confirm that, yes.
Absolutely.
I need to dig out the picture, actually. I must have it somewhere. Anyway, we'll maybe let off some smoke bombs if Hugh Keevans or Brian Graham gets beat on Beat the Pundit tonight. And you need to play a part. 01419511025. Lines close at 7, so be quick. And you could be playing Beat the Pundit next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Brian Graham are here. 01419511025. It's good to have them both. The big championship action tonight. Brian will be involved tomorrow. I'm sure he's got some big thoughts, as you've heard already, on the big games in the Premiership and all the talking points this weekend as well. So get your thoughts over to us, whatever it may be. We've talked Ryan Kent, bizarrely. Didn't expect that, I have to say. But there we go. These things happen in Scottish football. We've been discussing Ryan Kent, pyrotechnics, and various other topics, of course, on the field. What a game. First against second clash between Celtic and Aberdeen tomorrow. So keep the calls coming, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Tell you what, really unwanted statistics for me on here. The Pundits are on a bit of a roll. They've won 9 in a row.
I've done 2 of those.
Getting to the 10 in Scottish football can be problematic, as both sides of Glasgow have found out in the past. So can the Pundits do it tonight? That would be the question. You're in good form though, I think.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all.
You've never lost?
No.
How many times you played?
2 out of 2.
No, okay, they'll count. It's 100%. I tell everybody it's all about win percentage, so you take it where you can. Dean is in Bishopbriggs. How are you, Dean?
Not bad, thank you. How are you?
I've got a bit of a theory I'd need to check. I feel like all the callers have come from the sort of north of the city, Brian. I feel like everybody's kind of near where you're from. Are they not?
Might be family.
I just feel like they have all been there or thereabouts. We've had Royston, Bishop Briggs, who was the other one?
We had Burmullet where I grew up as a kid.
See? Scott, all in that neck of the woods. Anyway, Dean, have you ever played before?
Yes, once.
Oh, and?
Get beat.
By
2 by Roger Hannon.
No shame in that. I mean, he starts on -2 these days.
He starts in minus, well, he started in -1 at the time, so I get beat by 1 technically.
Okay.
So that means he's a good player.
Yeah, easier tonight, I have to say, Dean. No doubt about it, even if he does have a 100% record. Right, heads, good. It will be Hugh Keevans. Tails, it will be Brian Graham. And it is. You're like Celtic or Aberdeen. Your 100% record is up for grabs here.
It's on the line,
Brian Graham. It's on the line. That's a better phrase. Right, let's give him some greatest hits radio to listen to. Dean, you'll know the drill if you've played before. So 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. And if you don't know, you're welcome to pass, and we'll move on through them quite quickly, okay? All right, Dean?
No worries.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. In what year did Aidan McGeady make his Celtic debut?
2005.
Who won the Golden Boot at the last FIFA World Cup?
Kylian Mbappe.
Who's top of the Scottish Championship?
Falkirk.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium has the smallest capacity?
Ross County.
Okay. Dean's had his go. Brian, are you ready?
Yep, how was he?
I'm not telling you. Absolutely no chance. Same set of questions to you though, Brian. 30 seconds on the clock, you ready?
Yep.
Your time starts now. In what year did Aidan McGeady make his Celtic debut?
2004.
Who won the Golden Boot at the last FIFA World Cup?
Harry Kane.
Who is currently top of the Scottish Championship?
Falkirk.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium has the smallest capacity?
Pass.
Which Scottish international scored the opening goal for Real Madrid v Celtic in the Women's Champions League last night?
Oh, Caroline Weir.
What was the last team that new Hearts manager Neil Critchley managed?
Blackpool.
Okay. How do you think it went, Dean? Dean, can you hear us?
No great.
That's never good.
I can. I think he's done me by 1.
Oh no, I think you took too long, Dean, didn't you? You didn't get through that many questions.
I think I might have a delay here.
Oh, he's blaming the delay. Do you know what? See, to be fair,
I'm not saying it until I know the scores.
Having heard Dean, I think he might have, because it was quite slow. No offence to Dean, so I'm going to put it down to that. But what can you do? It's the joys of it. Let's go through
them. Dean sounds like he's issuing an appeal here.
No, he did. It sounded a bit slow. But anyway, Aidan McGeady retired yesterday. He made his debut.
Yeah, I'll check. Get Willie Coleman.
See, because he's now answering me like 10 seconds behind. I'm worried I might give Dean an extra question. Aidan McGeady debut 2004. Dean said 2005. So it was 2004, 1-0 to Brian. I have to say, I launched a quick steward's inquiry on this because it worried me. Who was the top scorer at the last World Cup? Dean said Kylian Mbappe. My sheet said Lionel Messi, but I think Dean's right, and I just looked it up. It is Mbappe, I'm pretty sure it is. He got a hat trick in the final, didn't he? 8 goals. I think Messi got 6. I don't know why we've got Messi down. Anyway, I'm giving it to Dean, unless someone corrects me otherwise. So we're level. The top of the championships, Falkirk. You both got it. So
Still level.
The Premiership Stadium with the smallest capacity.
Can I believe Ross County?
Former Ross County right player.
I couldn't get it, and I just had to pass it.
Dean got it.
Oh,
I mean, it took him 40 seconds to answer it, but he still got it right, and you didn't. So Dean goes in front by one. Incredible the way the questions fall, because we're open and honest on here. Scott Allen's usually in on a Friday. He called off last minute. We were delighted to draft you in, and yet these questions are perfect for you. They've got championship questions.
Wait a minute here. You're trying to come after me. You're saying he's got a delay. Now you're giving him a question.
No, but I'm saying is, right, what are the chances?
He's having another meltdown.
Listen, he plays in the championship. He used to play for Ross County. He manages in the women's game. He was going to know Caroline Weir. He's a student of the game. I can't take it away from you. I'm just saying, sometimes the cards fall for you. Caroline Weir scored. Sort of knew she would.
I nearly forgot her name, by the way.
It was a brilliant goal, wasn't it?
Oh, what a finish.
The one Scot who's playing for Real Madrid scores against Celtic in a 4-0 win. So Brian equalises and then gets it right. Neil Critchley is the new Hearts manager. His last job was Blackpool. So he's pipped it there. What was it? 4-3, I think. It was not bad. And I've got a bit of sympathy.
Done by one.
He's done you by one, Dean. Listen,
Tony Glasgow, you need to get 10 in a row. There you go.
Third time lucky, Dean. We'll do it again sometime.
Thank you, Dean.
No worries, cheers.
No, there is a delay there. There must be, my head's
or
gone.
Or else he's
I don't
at
know
it.
How to fix
he's at
this.
It.
He's not at it.
He knows he's beat.
I don't think so. Oh,
I don't care. I won. 100%
right,
record.
Well done. You pipped him by one. No, you did well. Okay, thanks to Dean. Thanks to Brian.
But I'm disappointed myself, Gordon, Ross County. That's
unbelievable. I have to say, I'm surprised at you. I am.
I misheard you, if I'm being honest. I was thinking every stadium.
Roger Hanna tried that one on Monday. Didn't hear the question properly.
There's nothing with Gordon DL's doing my head in generally, but see when he does the whole he repeats the question back.
Yeah.
As if just to buy him more time at the end. It's so annoying. And I call him out on it every week and then he forgets and does it again.
His hearing will improve when he has the hair transplant.
Ah, that's true actually. I'm looking forward to keeping up with that. Were you surprised to hear that through the week, that a man of his vintage is not only doing it, but he's now not even going to wait till the end of the season? He's going to go straight in. And
it's the way
year.
He's gone from far less trying to disguise the fact. He's boasting about it now.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to know. I heard him last night. I want people to know it's about me. Me.
But you know why that is?
Because it's about him.
No, because the more he mentions it, the less money he'll have to pay for it, if at all.
I know his deal.
There must be something to do with that, surely.
Yeah, he's got a dodgy deal.
Must be. 01419511025. That is the number you need. What have you got for us? You can talk Aberdeen's trip to Celtic tomorrow. We can talk about Kilmarnock. Any of you Kilmarnock fans out there, Rangers fans, looking forward to the game? It's a strange day when both Rangers and Celtic managers talking, pleading with the fans not to use pyrotechnics because it's getting the club in bother. So thoughts over on that if you can. And we will be here until just before 8 o'clock, so plenty more time. Big games all across the Premiership tomorrow, you have to say, Hugh, and over the weekend.
Neil Critchley, Hearts against St Mirren. Neil Critchley has come out and spoken about Rangers and Celtic are not insurmountable. Oh yeah, you'll find out, Neil, once you're here for a few weeks. He's got to hit the ground running, because the Hearts supporters, it's never a good sign when the new manager comes in and has to win over the fans. He's got to start with a win tomorrow and go to Easter Road and not lose. So his first 8 days in the job, Omoni and Nicosia in between in Europe. First 8 days in the job will seem like 8 months to him.
Yeah, it's always fascinating when any new manager comes in. Simo Vallecari won't yet. No red tape keeping him back, but particularly one of our biggest clubs. I know you're a former Hibs man. That'll be where your loyalties lie, Brian. But still, when a team like Hearts gets a new manager, there's a lot of intrigue there.
No, of course there's. And they badly need 3 points. It's been a horrendous start. Fantastic players have got in their squad, but the new manager needs to come in and get them to jail and start and get some results and start working their way back up that table, that's for sure.
Okay, let's hear a bit more from the managers doing the rounds today. It's always a busy Friday when they sit with the press and go through everything. So Philippe Clement, it was a year in the job this week, wasn't it? Here's what he had to say. He thinks they have made improvements in his first year, but still more is needed.
There are steps made, but we still have to make several steps to get where we want to be.
So that's with staff, that's with players, that's with board, that's with investors, that's with everybody together, making things better. So I've seen steps made. I've seen also that we lost things along the way when people left. So and then you need to rebuild again with players, with people from outside of the staff. So in that way, it's about working hard to improve things.
Yeah, Hugh, it seems like a fast year actually in some ways. But you know, lots happened there, and how would you assess that year?
Came in, won a trophy, and at that point I said he could be the blue Postecoglou. Then he turned into the blue Beal, because he went to Dingwall, then Dundee. He thought he had one hand on the title. Dingwall and Dundee finished that. Then he lost to Celtic, Scottish Cup final. Now, a lot of things have happened at Ibrox since the summertime which have nothing to do with him, but which have impacted on the club, so he has to be given some sympathy. But the basic question, the remit was to make Rangers better than they were the day he took over, and that's not the case yet.
Nothing worse though, because I mean, blue Postecoglou rhymes and blue Beal just doesn't snug at the same punch.
All I could think of in a hurry.
You've got the alliteration there, to be fair. I'll let you away with it. A year, Brian, how it's hard to assess it all, I guess, but give it a go.
What was worrying me there, he starts talking about the board and he's going through the full club, so, but it sounds like he's not happy. And I think the team he had when he first came in were better then than they are now as well. Goldson going away as well, I think he's a massive miss at the back. I know the Rangers fans gave him a bit of criticism, but I think he's a miss in that centre-half position for Rangers. And I do think their team's weaker than they were when he first came in.
I suppose though they are not conceding goals a lot now, if you look at it, apart from the European game. So we'll see what this weekend brings. Russell is a Rangers fan. I know you called in earlier, Russell, and we'll speak to you about Ryan Kent, but just to chuck one on you, what about that a year in charge for Philippe Clement this week? How's he done?
50-50. Difficult to tell. He's obviously got a... he's got a couple of things to deal with, injuries wise, or his health, Patrick going back in, and wish nothing but the best for him, because as every Rangers fan does, I'm sure. I'm 100% behind him.
I wonder if 50-50 is just quite a fair way of looking at it, Hugh. There have been good bits, and you say he won a cup, and then it got quite close in the league, but then it didn't. And Russell, people always say, you can't make excuses, and that word carries like real negative connotations. But at the same time, you're coaching, Brian, you know, albeit at a different level, whether it's injuries, whether you're, for Philippe Clement, had to play at Hampden, you've got, right now, you've got no CEO, you've got no chairman. Some people can, you can kind of bat them away as excuses, but also it's not ideal.
He's stuck something in a row. It's not ideal. It's not been the ideal start to this season for him, especially not playing at Ibrox, where it's a fortress at times for Rangers. So he's had to deal with things that he's not really wanted to deal with, but sometimes as a manager you've got to play with the hand you've been given at times. So as the caller said, there's 50-50 with him, but if you look at it in the grand scheme, if it wasn't Rangers and it was 1 year on the job and he's brought one trophy at the club, it would look a success, but because it's Rangers, then it's not enough.
You know, 5 points behind Aberdeen and Celtic, he must not have that situation worsen over the weekend or his problems will increase. He still hasn't won a game against Celtic. The manager who cannot beat Celtic cannot remain as the Rangers manager. So he's got many big challenges confronting him. Europe will become a nuisance. He's got the real Postecoglou coming to Ibrox. You go to Man U. He's got big challenges ahead. And we can talk about no CEO, no chairman on a full-time basis, but the fans are only interested in what happens on the park, and they will not take those factors into consideration. So every football match that he plays, there's an obligation to win, because anything else will just heighten the problems.
What was your take on the Ryan Kent hypothetical that's been doing the rounds, Russell?
First of all, that was a bit of a bomb dropped on me. So, first of all, good evening, Gordon, Hugh and Brian.
Good evening.
I've got six quick points, and I'm not going to actually... I'm just going to bullet point a few.
Six? Some people usually phone and say they've got two... 6 points? Right, go on then.
Hey,
attitude issue, problem with authority. He is a great and productive player. He has league knowledge. He has scored against Celtic. And he does show emotional positivity where it counts.
That's fine. Six bullet points about Ryan Kent. I thought he meant he had six separate points to make. I was panicking there. That was a kind of contrasting list, Hugh. For there was kind of good and bad, and Russell's well put together six bullet points. I think problem with authority was one of them, and emotional positivity or something at the end.
On the one hand, Russell says he's got emotional positivity, and earlier on, the Rangers fans who were on said he chucked it. He cheated the club. So that contradicts emotional positivity. But everything about Ryan Kent will come down to how he feels. He'll be a very big earner in Turkey. He will not be a very big earner at Ibrox, because Philippe Clement's remit was to get the wage bill down. And I don't think that Ryan Kent will look at Ibrox as a suitable destination for him at this time.
Do you think he would want to come back to the Glasgow Fishbowl? I don't think so.
No.
He's been here, he's done it. I think he wanted out near the end. He's out now. I don't think he'll come back.
Okay, thanks to Russell. 01419511025. Keep them coming. What about the other side of it all this weekend? I'd like to hear from you Aberdeen fans, because you'll know the way it works in Glasgow. You probably need to sit back and listen to everyone else talking about your team. So what do you think about the trip to Celtic Park, Killy fans? Let's discuss that game as well. And Rangers fans, we've spoken about Ryan Kent and pyrotechnics, but maybe not loads on the actual game itself this weekend. We've Championship football tonight. There's a full time teaser for the guys coming up as well. So we'll take your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Hugh Keevans are here. 01419511025. Big drama out there. Dean's now sending me Instagram messages complaining about the signal in Bishop Briggs.
Unlucky bud.
He'll make a rematch with you at some point, I have to say. Right, 01419511025 is the number that you need. Good question. This on the full time teaser. And remember, the aim of the game, always just remind you most nights, is that you send the questions in and then we see if the pundits can answer your question. You need to email it over fulltime@clyde1.com. That's exactly what Franny in Motherwell has done. Can you name six Scotsmen who've had more than three red cards in the English Premier League? Good question, that, I like it. Name the six Scotsmen who've had more than three red cards in the English Premier League.
When did the Premier League start?
92.
Paul Dickhoff.
Nope. I'll give you a clue. One of them is the joint record holder for red cards in the English Premier League.
Dan Fletcher.
No, far too clean cut for that nonsense. Oh, I think.
Duncan Ferguson.
Duncan Ferguson. Eight. In total, he's alongside, I think, Patrick Vieira and Richard Dunn, according to this list.
How about Charlie Adam?
Yes, four. Well done. Any more? That's a good start, to be fair. You're a third of the way there, so it's a good question, Franny. I like it. How many reds you had in your career?
Four, I think.
Is it only four? Aye. I thought it'd be a few more than that.
No.
That's not bad.
I know. People get a wrong impression.
Yeah,
me,
that's true. How many have you deserved?
None.
01419511025 in the phones. We'll keep going on that teaser as well. I like it. Good question. And you can chip in as well if you want. I won't read your answers out because I don't want the guys getting any help. But yeah, keep them coming as well. Keep the questions coming on the email fulltime@clyde1.com. Dickhoff had three, by the way, Brian. So a bit of a hit the post on that one. Let's hear from Jimmy Thielen then, ahead of that game tomorrow. We've been hearing, obviously, the Glasgow side of it. What about the Aberdeen side of it? He says it's too early to judge whether Aberdeen can put together a title challenge.
It's way too early. I think, like, Stevia plays seven games. It's the eighth game tomorrow, and it's October, and then you have until May, and a lot of things can happen. So nothing has changed in our how we think about everything. We have a long-term project, and this season we go game by game and try to be better. We try to create a clear identity, how we train, how we compete, the team spirit, and we are right now on a good track, but still we have to improve a lot of things and stay humble and a lot of effort, and then we have to try and then try again. That's where we are right now. I don't think about the table, as I told before, it's too early. So for us it's trying to be really good game by game and improve during the weeks, and let's see what happened in the last part of the season. But now we are so early yet.
Jimmy being introduced to Planet Scotland here. I don't look at the league table. What do you mean you don't look at the league table? And you know, if they don't win tomorrow, that's it. Flash in the pan, busted flush. So,
which you—that's not your take on it. You're talking about the sort of
that's
perception.
Planet Scotland. Okay. But I think it'll be fascinating. I'm thinking of players like Nicky Devlin, who's had a wonderful week built around 5 or 6 minutes on the pitch at Hampden. I'm thinking of the Aberdeen fans, who are terrific, travel in great numbers, and every weekend they're away from home is a big journey for them. They've suffered so much, particularly against Celtic. I remember being there 14 years ago, 9-0 Celtic, when Mark McGee was the manager. But everything about tomorrow screams out at having the potential to be an epic match. I think they'll come and they will have a right go at Celtic, and Celtic won't have the luxury of saying, oh well, after the international break. I think Celtic will be inspired by it as well. Brendan Rodgers, for the first time in a long time, will be thinking, I've got a big match and it doesn't involve Rangers.
Do you think they will come and have a go?
I like the way he spoke. He's obviously saying it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, but I know for a fact he's saying that to the press, but in his changing room he will have full belief that going to Parkhead to go and get 3 points. So he's been calculating the way he spoke to the press, saying we'll look at it further down the line, but he's going to go in there full of confidence, mm-hmm. full of belief that he can go and get 3 points tomorrow.
We sometimes fall into that trap. We've only got two modes. People either have a go or they park the bus, as if you can only do one or the other. We then sometimes, I think, ignore the fact that what you're trying to do versus what you're able to do is different, because sometimes the other team...
I'm just too good for you.
Well, take Scotland the other night. You watch the start of the game. Scotland clearly tried to press Portugal, and they did it. But there are going to be points in the game where you can't get the ball, and then you end up.
You have to retreat.
It's not a deliberate decision to park the bus, as the phrase goes. So that's just personal moans of mine out the way. What do you think the approach will be if we are going to be as simplistic about it? Will Aberdeen have a go, as the phrase keeps coming?
They'll probably play in the counter attack. They'll probably go there, try and keep the ball, try and keep the crowd as quiet as possible the first 15-20 minutes, and when they get the ball they'll have to look after it. They need to stop the turnovers, because if they keep giving the ball back to Celtic, then it will be wave after wave of attack. They'll have to slow the game down when they can to try and get themselves up the pitch. But I firmly believe they'll go there fully of belief that they've been brilliant this season. Let's not get away from that fact. They've been absolutely brilliant. So I think they've got nothing to lose tomorrow. They've got nothing to lose to go to Parkhead. They will have a game plan. They'll stick to it. And who knows, they might come away with 3 points. You just never know.
Again, see this notion of whatever that means. You hear all these buzz phrases, you know, have a go, get after Celtic, get in their face, all that stuff. Does Celtic want you to do that, ultimately? Is that better for them?
Of course it is. Leaves them more gaps at the back other end to go and exploit.
Remember the Rangers game where actually at the start we were all in here and you think, oh, Rangers are really pressing the life out of Celtic here, and that could be interesting. And then a few passes, they score, it's offside. And then they just do it again. And
that's the problem for Aberdeen tomorrow, because the hype has been wonderful. When Rangers played at Celtic Park that day, as soon as Celtic scored what was considered to be a legitimate goal, Rangers were spooked. And they were out for the rest of the day. If Celtic were to score early, Aberdeen might get spooked. There might be that subconscious feeling, oh, this could be a sore one.
Callum is in Darnley. How are you, Callum?
Hi, good evening, panel. How's it going?
Not bad, Callum. What do you make of this tomorrow then? Close game or not?
Tomorrow, no. I think it'll be a close first half, and then Celtic will maybe score 3 in total over the game, but a couple of goals late on due to fitness. The game maybe spreading out a little bit more. I do think the game at Hampden, the semi-final that we have against them, that will be a close one. be a lot closer than it will be tomorrow, is my opinion.
What's that, like home advantage sort of thing, Celtic Park? Do you think that is a factor? Or
60,000 there. And just, it's kind of like us going away to Borussia Dortmund. Look, we've got good players, but the defenders aren't up to the level. I don't think Aberdeen's defenders are going to cope Maeda and and Takun and Kun's form, and probably Kyogo up front. His movement will just size the two centre-halves. So ultimately that will pay dividends, I think, tomorrow for sure.
It is, Hugh, like, how do you ignore the unavoidable food chain of things within Scottish football? Generally speaking, if you were to bring someone in who'd never heard of the league and never heard of any of that stuff, and you say we've got two teams, they are neck and neck, they've both won 7 out of 7, and one of them's won all their cup games as well, you can't separate them, you know, you think, well, it's going to be a really close game, and it might be. But I had a quick look, please gamble responsibly and all that. For Aberdeen to win at Celtic Park tomorrow, you're talking 9, 10, 11 to 1.
Yeah.
So that's not close. That's not a close projection. Not even so. That's where the, like I say, that food chain, that pecking order, the budget difference, all that sort of stuff, is so stacked in Celtic's favour.
The array of talent middle to front that Brendan Rodgers has is superb. You're looking for little areas of vulnerability, if they do exist. Alex Vai, still finding his way in a Celtic jersey. Trusty, same for him, still finding his way. Although Cameron Carter-Vickers is back in training and apparently would be available. We'll see if Brendan Rodgers takes the chance.
I think they were waiting to see how he responded to training today.
Yeah. In Alistair Johnson, they have a fantastic player. I'm thinking back to the way Celtic ended before the international break. Magnificent ball from Alistair Johnson. Kuhn, terrific finish, terrific awareness. But if there is any vulnerability, it might be Trusty, it might be Alex Vai. But that's for Aberdeen to probe and find out.
Yeah, if you go back to the Ross County game, obviously Celtic came off of the back of a European game. The £11 million player who's started exceptionally well at Celtic was bang average at Ross County.
Yeah.
So let's not get away for that fact. Aberdeen have got big strikers, we're scoring goals. Nicky Devlin's come off the back of a Scotland cap. They'll be feeling confident going to Parkhead, and they'll have, at times, they'll have to have a go to go and score a goal.
Yeah.
It might not play out the way they want them to play it out. Celtic may be too strong for them. But who knows, if Aberdeen go and score first, what happens then?
Yeah, I mean, Callum, you look at the coming off the back of a break, sometimes things can just be a bit flatter. Is that a danger, or is that not something that worries you this weekend?
Both teams, and then I would say to that point, quality would shine through, which is in comparison to what Aberdeen has. But that definitely happened the first international break. You can remember the performance levels.
The thing
in the October one, and then after that, it dipped.
The point that Brian,
that counts for both teams.
The point that Brian made about Ingles, who I think when you called them bang average, you were actually doing him a favour, given his display at Dingwall. But then Luke McCowan wanders onto the park and looked terrific.
Yep.
You know, so there's this embarrassment of riches that Brendan Rodgers has. The only area of vulnerability for me would be Alex Vai, Trusty. They're still,
Trusty's still 6 million.
Yeah, I know, but he's still finding his way, I think.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one for sure. Thank you very much to Callum. 01419511025 if you want to get your thoughts in, and please do. Again, this is that, I always say this, I try and word it differently so I'm not repetitive, but our version of sort of one game at a time doesn't really exist. Managers always do. So Brendan Rodgers was asked today about, you know, do you not take the risk on Cameron Carter-Vickers tomorrow if it's with a view, you know, to Europe? And he said, oh no, it's just all about this game. But you wonder if really,
if Brendan, you know, Rodgers,
if it's as simple as you leave him out tomorrow, which means he's fit enough for the European game, you do that, don't you?
Yeah, because in his deepest subconscious, Brendan Rodgers is already thinking, and I know it's a massive game tomorrow, and I'm so looking forward to it. But at the back of his mind, he's thinking, I can't go to Bergamo and take another sore one of Borussia Dortmund proportions.
They need them playing for that game. And yeah, I might not stop that happening, by the way.
Yeah.
Again, though, and how important then to get Alex Valle. Look, they are separate. Dortmund taught us that. Celtic can be out of this world domestically, and it might not really stand them in good stead. But if you're going to have to use Alex Valle in Bergamo, as you probably will be, then good to get him. You need to get game time and try and...
The more games you get, the consistency, the match speed comes with the games. So it's games-related fitness that comes with it, your sharpness and stuff like that. So the more games he plays, the better the kid's going to get. He's still a young boy. I know he's on loan because it's Barcelona. Doesn't mean they're world beaters because it's Barcelona. But he's clearly got a talent. That's why he's first and foremost a Barcelona player. Celtic have brought him in for cover for Greg Taylor. Greg Taylor's injured, so he needs to come in and play.
Yeah,
Callum's disappeared. I was going to get more of his thoughts, but he's gone, which is fine. Thanks to Callum for his time tonight. You can join him, though. Still plenty of opportunity before we disappear on 01419511025. Franny from Motherwell sent in a good question for you two. Name the six Scotsmen who've had more than three red cards in the English Premier League. Duncan Ferguson has had 8. Charlie Adam has had 4.
Jamie Alexander?
Nope.
Colin Henry?
Nope.
Gary Naismith?
Nope.
Kenny Muller?
No. A calm, composed individual Kenny would never get too worked up about anything to get sent off.
Need to throw another one, but I doubt it. McFadden?
Nope. Not much of a red card type. Well, he's had a couple, I think, but
just thinking of Scotsmen that'll play down there.
There's one that you'll kick yourself over, Hugh Keevans in particular. That's all I'm going to say. There's one you'll really kick yourself over, and the others just, I don't really know how to help you out here. I mean, all of them capped by, oh no, all but one capped for Scotland. Incidentally, the one who hasn't been capped by Scotland is the one that you'll kick yourself over.
Hasn't been capped by Scotland.
He's had four reds. Probably got
Gary McAllister?
Nope. Probably got some in the English Championship as well. I think got some when he came up here, or maybe one when he came up here. At the end of his career. Has driven you home from this show many
Alex
times.
Ray.
Alex Ray. Can't believe you missed him. Our old pal, 4 reds in the English Premier League. We'll take the rest, and we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Hugh Keevans are toiling in this full-time teaser. We're looking for the six Scotsmen who've had more than 3 red cards in the English Premier League. Duncan Ferguson, Charlie Adam and Alex Ray. During the break, if you're struggling, let me give you the set of clues I gave them. This guy played for an Edinburgh club. Yes, there we go. He's just beat me to the punch after telling him 10 different clues. I said an Edinburgh club in green and white, a Glasgow club in green and white. He's got a brother that plays.
I don't think we're in that too much detail.
Gary Caldwell, right. Two more to get. Okay, two more. So let's see how you go. Kicking off in what looks like absolutely horrendous conditions in Hamilton. Hamilton against Falkirk. Brian is our championship expert. What are you thinking about this one tonight?
If Falkirk play the way they played against us first half last week, I think they'll win. But we went there early in the season, get beat 1-0 with Hamilton with a late goal. So it's difficult to say, but I think Falkirk will just pick it.
Look, you will be hoping your form turns around and you've got aspirations of going and challenging near the top. But just on Falkirk, how impressed have you been? Are they, you know, the real deal? This is not just a quick bounce at coming up from League One. Are they there to stay? No. Thereabouts?
They're there to be shot at. They're top of the table. They're there for a reason. They've been excellent so far. Their movement, the way they play the game, they're like Celtic in a way. As soon as the ball's out, it's back in play. You can't turn your back. You can't switch off for a second. They play 100 mile an hour all the time. You don't get a breathing space when they're playing. Very good. Every single player, doesn't matter if it's the subs that are coming on, know their job. So yes, they're the real deal, and it's up to us to go and catch them.
John McGlynn, Hugh, doing a terrific job. We'll see what happens tonight.
I mean, I've always said it'd be the most sensational story for years if he gets back-to-back promotions with Falkirk and takes them into the Premiership. When they played Celtic in the Cup earlier, they were terrific, and Brendan Rodgers paid John McGlynn the ultimate compliment by saying, at 2-1 for Falkirk, we're going to go out unless I bring in the heavy artillery here. And Nicholas Coon changed the whole day. 2 goals, 2 assists. So they are a fine side. Journalistically, what a story it would be. Back-to-back promotions.
Tomorrow, Brian, at home to Airdrie, a team who really needs a win, having a difficult time of it. You know, they are even in the Challenge Cup, knocked out by Lowland League opposition on penalties recently, East Kilbride. Is that the type of fixture then, obviously, that you welcome? It's home advantage, all that sort of stuff. Does it sometimes bring that? I mean, I know, I suppose the Firhill crowd are expectant anyway, aren't they? You guys are expected to win them all, but there'll be a big expectation tomorrow on that one.
Of course there is. There's expectation for every time we walk out to the Firhill crowd. They want you to win every single game, and rightly so. They want you back the football club, and they want us to go and get promotion this year. That's our aims. We've got to start picking up results starting tomorrow. It will be difficult. I know Airdrie have not had a great start, but they've got a good young manager, and it'll be a difficult game tomorrow, but we've got to just concentrate on ourselves, look after number one, go and get the job done tomorrow and get 3 points.
Tell you what, the conditions in Hamilton. Oh. I'm glad we're in here. John's McGlynn and Rankin absolutely soaked before this game has even kicked off. So incredible. Hopefully get a good football match there. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson. The big news today is that St Mirren and Sean Rooney have parted ways. He's been let go by the club, or left due to mutual consent. Obviously there's a legal situation ongoing there in which really we can't speculate about, or we get ourselves in bother on here. But on a footballing side of things, Stephen Robinson says it's far from ideal, but they will just get on with it as a club.
Listen, the situation's been ongoing for, I think, 4 or 5 weeks now. Players deal with it, they're very robust. And, you know, we, as I say, you control the things you can control, and we control what happens on the pitch, and there's lots of things we can improve on and continue to be good at, and that's my sole focus. By the statement, it's obviously a club decision, so, you know, it's a mutual agreement between Sean and the club, as was in the statement, so that's all I need to really refer to. Yeah, obviously, look, it's not an ideal situation. I've lost a player that we can't really replace until January, so that's... that's an issue for us with the injuries that we've got, with Richard Taylor having surgery, Charles Dunn coming off a couple of weeks ago, he's a big doubt again for Saturday. So it leaves us slightly short, but we'll be fine. There's other boys doing very well, there's some younger players coming through, and it's up to boys to step in. I always believe that it gives people an opportunity when injuries and other situations arise to keep people out of the team, so it's up to people to embrace that and take that opportunity.
Hugh, I think most people know the backstory. If they don't, of course, the Sean Rooney, 28-year-old right back, he was charged with assaulting a woman in Glasgow last month.
Yeah.
And he has, it's been confirmed today, like we said, that, you know, they've parted ways. So in terms of that side of it, not one for us to discuss at the moment.
No.
The legal process can kick in and take its course. But the way that Stephen Robinson puts it, that's just the obvious footballing bit. He now is without a player and he can't sign a replacement, and it was a first team player, and you feel kind of bad almost making this all about football when there's a bigger more important picture. But for the on the field stuff, that's now a challenge for St Mirren to overcome.
He sounded completely brassed off there, you know, purely and simply because of numbers. He's mentioned Charles Dunn, Sean Rooney has gone, that matter is closed. You couldn't say anything that would prejudice matters off the field. So he's just got to go on with it. And I do believe he'll go there and he'll set up his team in such a way that he'll put Hearts under pressure, regardless of numbers lost to him. The day is very much about Neil Critchley and what he can do. Hearts, bottom of the table, 2 points. And here we have a manager who's come into the job with the Hearts fans saying, wait a minute, he was sacked by QPR, he was sacked by Blackpool. What algorithm come up with his name?
What would you know about algorithms, honestly?
Yep.
Things you never thought you would hear. On
analytics,
here.
I'm very big in analytics.
It's going to be an interesting game, that. We kind of touched on Neil Critchley earlier on. And for Stephen Robinson, Brian, we spoke earlier in very different terms just about the sort of random things that management can throw up that you then need to combat. This would be one of them that he wouldn't have seen coming.
Of course he wouldn't. It's not an ideal situation for the manager, as we don't know what's going on, so we can't really comment on it. But just from the manager's perspective, he's lost a key player who is a starting player in his team. So, and obviously he's alluded, he's got some injuries, going into a huge game away at Hearts at Tynecastle, which is a hard venue to go to, probably one of the best places to go to plays for in Scotland. Great stadium, great atmosphere. So, plus it'll be a big crowd tomorrow. I know some of the Hearts fans weren't really happy about the appointment of the new manager, but they'll still go there. They're going back their team, and a hard environment for St Mirren to go there and try and get a result, especially with a player less. But at the same time, they've got other players, even maybe youth players, need to come up to help the squad, to help for numbers. So, but that's why you've got your systems in there.
I think I would enjoy that if I was a St Mirren player, you know, because
it's trying to spoil the party sort of thing.
I mean, the tension, you know, I know it'll be a great crowd and the wonderful support Hearts, but the tension will be palpable tomorrow because Neil Critchley can't possibly begin with a home defeat.
Well, frustrating times for St Johnston. Simo Vallecari, I think, is it 18 days ago he was appointed, or 18 days by the time tomorrow's game comes around against Ross County, and he's still not able to take his place in the dugout. Some red tape preventing him doing so, but we'll keep an eye on that game, of course. Motherwell Dundee, Hugh. Motherwell maybe surprising a few people, having a really good start to the season. You look at the points total.
And Stuart Kettlewell has really been talking it up and talking it up. A terrible shame about Paul McGinn, out for a significant period of time, to quote Stuart Kettlewell. But he's really been talking up the Motherwell revival and the rapport between the community and club. However, here we have Tony Dock having shopped Rangers and said, we beat them 1-0 in a closed door game. So
did you notice, I listened to all of Philippe Clement's press conference, and I just wondered if there was just a very, very subtle response. He was asked a question about using young players, and he said, he rhymed off some young players, and he said, I mean, and we used those players in a friendly against Dundee. I don't know if that was just him getting out there, because like, Tony Dock said, oh, Rangers were strong and we beat them 1-0. Yeah. But anyway, I'll let them sort that out amongst themselves.
They'll not get invited back, that's for sure.
No. I think Motherwell Dundee, along with Hearts and St Mirren, strikes me being very, very tight, close games. And that probably applies to St Johnstone, Ross County as well. I quite fancy Dundee United to beat Hibs.
The Brian Graham Derby, they call that. The Brian Graham Derby, no one calls that apart from me.
And Celtic Aberdeen, wonderful. Mm. Just let it kick off and let's enjoy.
Let's do it. Right, let's round off the teaser. I don't think you'll enjoy this, you two. It's been a difficult old road for you. We're looking for the six.
Grant Hanley?
Nope.
I'm done.
Six players. Six Scotsmen.
Meltdown.
Six Scotsmen with more than three red cards in the English Premier League. Duncan Ferguson, Charlie Adam, Gary Caldwell and Alex Ray. What about a former Rangers defender? Played for Everton.
Davy Weir.
Yep, four reds. And the last one, five reds for this guy. Played for Everton as well, funnily enough. Never played up here though, but played for Scotland. Was good for Scotland. Scored a famous goal against England around the turn of the century. No?
Oh.
Quick.
No, I'm done.
Initials?
Oh my goodness. DH. Oh, come on. Don Hutchison.
Oh.
Thank you, Brian Graham. All the best tomorrow. Thank you, Hugh Keevans. I mean, I wish you all the best tomorrow as well. If you wish, you'll be in here with me, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel from 2 o'clock. What an afternoon we have in store. You won't want to miss it. Just think of all the talking points that are bound to come out of Celtic against Aberdeen and all the rest of the fixtures as well. We're here at 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us, and the GBX is up next.